it starts to collate all this together. And I don't know whether you've ever been on a website and you think, you know, I want to buy a shed, like often you do. And then from then on, every other website that you go to, they're selling you sheds. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, when this starts to really get going, what's going to happen is you're going to walk down the street and a facial recognition camera is going to spot you, and there there'll be a board advertising things specifically just for you. You'll walk into a shop and they'll know it's you, and you'll have offers specially given to you. It's very little secret anymore. There's very little secret. You know that I've found out that there's a website and you can put somebody's name into it, and in a split second, it tells you everything about them. It tells you where they live. It tells you the telephone number. It tells you whether they've got any criminal records. It tells you where they shop. It tells you how much money they're earning. It gives you even a picture of their house. And apparently, it's now going to be used for covenant partnership. That no longer are you going to have a visit by David. All that's going to happen is they're going to stick your name in. So I thought I'd give it a try. And I started with Joe. And on that basis, I don't even know why you're here. You should be well, guy. There's nothing secret much anymore. You know, there's even websites where you can go to type your secrets in anonymously. 6billionsecrets.com. And there you can go on that site, and there's others as well, and you can read everybody's secrets. Amazing. There's not much secret anymore. But having secrets has always had some kind of allure to it. You know, you remember the sort of spy films. In those days, James Bond was looking for an address or a telephone number, wasn't he? He wouldn't have a problem. We don't need James Bond anymore, do we? Because we can do that. But across the desk would go this buff-coloured file. And there on the front of it, in red, in a stamp, would be top secret. You see, it's lovely to be in the know, isn't it? You know, some people are in the know about certain things, aren't they? I'm in the know. I know this information. I did a little search on Amazon and I thought, I wonder how many books teach us about secrets. And you know that there are 265,972 books for sale on Amazon that have secret in the title. Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Well, that's a good one. That sounds good, that does. The Secret, What Great Leaders Know and Do. Secrets of Longevity, Hundreds of Ways to Live to Be 100. And The Secret of Success. People have searched for centuries for secrets, to know the insider information, to be in the know about something. And quite often we've searched big questions about life. What's the purpose of our life? And what's the purpose of my life? And what is this thing called life all about? And some people seem to be in the know. And one of the things I think people search for is to try and find happiness. And one person who said he was in the know about having a happy marriage had been together with his wife for 38 years. And they said, what's the secret? He said, I can't tell you. He said, I'm in the know about it, but I can't tell you. Go on, you can tell us, you can tell us. He says, okay, he says, three things. He says, first of all, he said, twice a week, go out for a candlelit meal, some nice romantic music, maybe a bit of a dance, twice a week. She goes out on Tuesday and I go out on Friday. Whenever you're out shopping, always hold hands. Because if you don't, she might start spending money and looking at things. And last of all, the best bit of knowledge of all, is sleep in separate beds. Mine is in London and hers is in Manchester. And we've lived happily ever after for 38 years. People in the know. People in the know. But some secrets we really, really need to know. We looked at some pictures this morning on that BMS thing and some questions came up. I'd love to be in the know why there's injustice in the world. Why is it that some people are just completely discriminated against for no reason at all? I'd love to know the secret to that. Why is that? Why is it that it seems that good people suffer for no reason at all? I'd love to be in the know about that. I'd love to know the secret to that. I'd love to know why it is that actually you can spend a lot of your time worrying about things when sometimes we don't really need to worry about these things. I'd love to be in the know about that. I'd love to be in the know about how we could make an end to things like poverty. Wouldn't it be good to be in the know about those kind of things that would make a difference to us? Being an insider on those would be the kind of information I would like to know. And before you leave today, I'm going to reveal to you a secret that was held for centuries. It was a mystery, and people couldn't understand it. But then this secret was revealed. We've been looking over the last couple of weeks or so at this book, Colossians, and it's a really interesting book because it was written by a man called Paul, and it wasn't really a book, it was a letter, as I'm sure many of you know. And it was sent to this little house church, just this church in a city that once was grand and now wasn't quite as grand as it was. And there was lots of strange things going on. There was lots of people there who said that they were in the know. They were people who said, one of the ways that you can get to God is through knowledge. Yes, this thing about Jesus is okay, but you need Jesus and something else. You need knowledge. And so Paul starts to hear these rumors. And Paul at the time was in prison. More than likely he was in Rome in prison. And he'd never actually visited this place. The church had been started by people that had heard about him and it had moved around and he'd never actually been there, but he'd heard something was taking place that people who said that they were in the know actually were trying to influence the people in this little community. And he started to write to him. He says, I need to just tell you here, be very careful. Be very careful if you listen to people who say they're in the know, because they could lead you astray into all sorts of different places. They could take you in directions that were never intended to be. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write you this little letter and I'm going to tell you about some things that are really important. One of the things I'm going to tell you is one of the biggest secrets that was kept for centuries. The people in that area were becoming bombarded with philosophies of how to live life. And you know, we could identify with that ourselves today. It doesn't take long to watch the television before you start to have systems of thought come to you that this is the way that you should live life. And it's usually, if you have this and this, you're going to get this. And it's like, if you buy that new washing machine, your life is going to be perfect from this moment on. You see it in the faces of the people. If you go and buy that new sofa with 4 years interest-free credit and nothing to pay for 1 year, the sofa won't be around by the time then because it'll have collapsed because it's rubbish, but you'll still be paying for it in 5 years' time. But it'll make you happy. You get that new car, it'll make you happy. And then obviously for that one lady, which always makes me smile, get a packet of Senecoc because that will make you really happy too. She wakes up with a lovely smile on her face. But those philosophies come to us sometimes a bit subtly. And if we're not careful, they can bypass what is common sense and lead us into a way of believing that if I could just have this, or if I could just do that, then everything would be perfect. Everything would be happy. And sometimes, you know, Christianity can be explained that way. There's some very famous preachers who people love to listen to, who say, if you would just follow Christ, your life from this moment on would be nothing but prosperity and wealth and health and happiness. But we all know that actually that doesn't always quite work out that way. It's almost like you can have Jesus and something else. It's not enough just to have Jesus. You need Jesus and something else for it to be right. Well, when we're looking at this passage that we're looking today, the people that were there, Paul wrote to them this amazing word. Do you want to put that verse up for us? And this is from the Message paraphrase and Message translation of the Bible. And I love reading the Message sometimes because it just has a real earthiness about the words. But this is in chapter 1 of Colossians 26. And Paul is writing this to this little community who are starting to get influenced by these ideas. And he says, this is the mystery that's been kept in the dark for a long time, and now it's in the open. You know, for centuries, there was glimpses to the Jewish people, something is coming. Something is coming. And we can see it all the way. We, for those of us who have been in church for a while, we know those stories, that a Messiah was coming. And he was prophesied, he was forecast, he was told that he was coming. But that mystery was hid for a long time. But now, it's out in the open. God wanted everybody, not just Jews, but everybody to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out. Regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, and the mystery, in a nutshell, is just this. Christ is in you. Christ is in you. Last week when Paul was speaking, he was talking about how Paul starts off this letter and he says, I just want you to remind you, this God that we worship, this God that we serve, he is over everything. He's over it all and he holds it all together. And he points to Christ as being this one who's got all this power and holds it all together, which is an amazing thing. But then he comes out with this secret and he says, this same one who holds all this together is in you. And he's in me. What an amazing secret that is. How can that be? How can that be? How can it be that we could be in the know? That we could have Christ in us? That's a mystery. That's an absolute mystery. And he goes on to say this, that if by that fact, we can look forward to sharing in this thing called God's glory. And I love that last sentence. It's that simple. Yeah, simple. I understand that. Really simple, that is. That the God of the universe actually lives in me. You know, I don't know about you, but I think I could live for 1,000 years and I could never really get my head around that idea. That maybe when I do live for that 1,000 years, maybe I'll get around in my head then because I'll be there and that'll be it then. But you know what I mean? It's just how can that mystery work? That this God of the universe lives in me. And the secret really is it's that it's a transforming presence. It's a transforming presence. The question is really, I'm left asking, which I quite often ask on a Sunday morning, is, so what? So what? What difference is that going to, what difference does that make? Some of you are going to go to work tomorrow morning, and some of you are going to go to the art cafe for your coffee with your mates. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? If it doesn't make a difference to our life, then you have to ask yourself, well, why is it a secret and why should we be in the know? If we can hear something that is as revolutionary as that the God who created all the world actually lives in us and it doesn't change us in some way, then we need to come and check our pulse just to make